She's a small wonder.
I'd like you both to meet Vicky.
A child unlike other girls.
And that's a real kid, right?
No, it's a robot.
Made of plastic. Microchips here and there.
You're my voice input child identicant. V-I-C-I, I pronounce it Vicky.
Everyone, Angela Bowen here, the host of She's a Small Wonder, a Small Wonder podcast. Now, first of all, I'm going to apologize since there was no episode last month. But in order to catch up and be done with season 3 by December, I'm going to be doing 2 episodes in one. So we're going to be doing, I'm going to be covering season 3, episode 15, Bye Bye Brindles, and Season 3, Episode 16, For Sale by Robot. So, going back to Bye Bye Brindles, this episode aired January 23rd, 1988. In this episode, the Lawsons plot to convince the Brindles to move. Why didn't they just do that in Season 1? Ugh. Well, obviously, it doesn't fucking work because they're still fucking there. Oh, I just can't fucking stand them. So, this episode's got a 7.8 out of 10 based on 18 ratings. Let's see who's guest starring this episode. Michael Porter as Vermin. Great. This episode was directed by Selig Frank. We got writers Gordon Mitchell, Howard Leeds, the creator, and Warren S. Murray, who the character of Warren is named after. And Bruce Kane as executive story editor. Oh, we actually have trivia. Yes, of course. The title. And this person did not spell. Oh, they did. The title is based on the musical Bye Bye Birdie with a book by Michael Stewart, lyrics by Lee Adams, and music by Charles Strauss. The original Broadway production of Bye Bye Birdie opened at the Martin Beck Theater on April 14, 1960, ran for 607 performances, won the 1961 Tony Award for Best Musical. That's great. Never seen it, never planned to see it. So, all right, without further ado, let's jump into Bye Bye Brindles. So it looks like we're opening up the episode in the living room instead of the kitchen. Oh. Jamie is... What the hell? Jamie's sitting on the couch reading a book, which seems so un-Jamie-like. And Vicky and Joan are cleaning. Vicky's vacuuming with the hose. Looks like she's getting between the cushions of the couch. And Joan is... I'm guessing dusting? She better be helping, too. What was that, a bookmark?
Hey, how'd you like me to stick that vacuum up your nose? Hi.
Oh, someone's pissed. Someone's pissed. Oh, what the fuck did you do now?
What did Brandon do at the office this time?
Well, for the last 3 months, I've been working on a project for a food company. I finally figured out a way for a robotic arm to stuff a pimento inside an olive without bruising the olive. See?
Dad, I hope you don't mind if I don't brag about this at school.
So as soon as Brandon found out about it, he ran right into the president's office and took full credit.
What a fucktard.
The man is a worm.
How'd you like me to stick that vacuum up his nose?
Or up his ass?
Well, Brandon's wife is no prize package either. She came over here this afternoon with that usual irritating greeting of hers.
Hi!
Yeah.
Right, Vicky.
Oh. They talk about it.
Look,
my
cheeks are starting to look like a chipmunk storing nuts for the decade.
Oh, fuck you both.
I mean, can you imagine Bonnie calling me chubby? I mean, if you hung a cabin under her stomach, she'd make a wonderful Goodyear blimp.
Yeah, what a team they make. Tweedledum and Tweedledummer.
No! Don't open it! Let's get the fuck out of here. Bye! So, I couldn't tell exactly what Vicky sucked out of Jamie's hand. I thought it was like a bookmark or something like that, but he doesn't say, so who the fuck knows? As soon as Ted walks in the door, he is royally fucking pissed. Slamming down his briefcase. I'm surprised he didn't slam the damn door off the hinges, because I'd be fucking angry too. So for 3 months, guys, Ted's been working on how to get a robotic arm to put a pimento into an olive without bruising the olive. So they're a robotics company that I guess also dabbles in the food industry. But anyway, Brandon gets wind of this, and of course he goes to... Yeah, Brandon goes to the big old boss man, takes it to the office, and throws it out as his idea. This guy is the biggest fucktard in the world. He's always doing this shit because he's quote-unquote Ted's boss. And the one episode about the Ooga Mooga or whatever of it all, Ted and Brandon's boss flat out fucking tells Ted, "Oh, I mistook Brandon for you. You were supposed to get that promotion, not him. But whatever." Makes no point to fucking correct that issue. You would have better productivity if you're like, "You know what, Brandon, I made a mistake. I am, I'm basically demoting you. You suck. Your work ethic is for shit. In fact, I'm not just gonna demote you. I'm gonna fire your ass. Because you're a horrible human being. No one likes you here, Brandon. I'm not gonna give you a recommendation." But anyway, yeah, he takes that to the big old boss man, plays it off as his idea. That would piss me off. That was 3 months. I'm trying to figure that out after how many umpteen failed attempts. Jamie's all like, "Well, Dad, excuse me if I don't want to brag about this to my friends at school." Like, oh my gosh, my dad just after 3 months, 3 painstaking months, was able to put a pimento in an olive without bruising the olive. Oh my gosh. And then, so we don't see Bonnie, but clearly she's going to be referenced. Because Joan's like, "Oh my gosh, I got a visit from Bonnie earlier today. Ugh." And then she had the nerve to, like, basically call me fat. Like, are you fucking kidding me? She's always doing that shit. Joan is gorgeous. And not to be, you know, sounding like an asshole, but Bonnie... girl, you need to, like, take a look in the mirror and think about how you're treating people. And we know that deep down Bonnie is insecure. She's jealous of Joan, of what Joan has, with her nice house, her family, an amazing husband, and what the fuck does Bonnie have? Fucking Brandon and Harriet. It's like, bitch, you created that brat. And you pretty much got sucked into that marriage, so that's on you, sweetie. You don't like it? Find another opportunity somewhere else. Or just suck it up. I feel bad for Ted. Joe, I mean, at some point, it's like, there's a line between being hospitable and being polite. And if someone is going to be knocking on you all the time and putting you down because they're clearly insecure about themselves, here's the thing. Don't open the damn door. Of course. Knock, knock, knock. Who's at the door? Little red-headed pigtail girl, Harriet. Ugh. Joan grabs Ted by the ears, like, honey, let's get out of here. I don't want to see that kid any more than I want to had to deal with her mother earlier. 9 times out of 10, who that knock is going to be, it's going to be either Brandon, Bonnie, or Harriet. And going forward, since Edie McClurg's not on the show, odds are it's going to be Brandon or Harriet. Or, I guess, his sister, Ida. So, are they, I'm curious going forward, are they going to explain away Bonnie's, like, oh, she was here earlier, but we just never see her. Or, oh, she's on a trip. It's not like he's like, well, we got divorced and she didn't want Harriet, so she's staying with me. And my sister moved in because she's helping me raise her or something to that effect.
Peggy, let her in. Hi, Romeo.
Girl, what the hell do you want?
What do you want, Harriet? You're undying love, Romeo.
Yuck.
Another drink the poison. My dad wants to borrow your dad's paint sprayer. He's going to paint our garage. Your dad is a worm.
She ain't wrong. Because your father sued me.
Harriet, she's just kidding. I mean, you know what my parents think of your dad and mom? If they hang a cabin under your mom's stomach, you make a wonderful Goodyear blimp. Did your father say that too? No, my mother said that.
Does your parents suck, girl?
I'm going right home to tell my parents.
Good. Yes, girl.
Well, I can't believe it. After what Vicky told Harriet we said about her parents, I thought they'd be banging our door down.
Well, maybe we lucked out and we'll never see them again.
Don't count on it, honey. The Brindles always come back. Like moldy grout.
Yeah.
The moldy grout is back.
The moldy grout. Right?
They don't want us to hear the kind of language we hear every day on the playground.
Brandon, we were just talking about you.
I'll bet you were. And I have a pretty good idea what you were saying. Harriet told us everything that you said about me and Bonnie, and I have never been so insulted. Bonnie has, but I haven't.
Brandon, we can explain.
Forget it. Bonnie is so upset she's home, lying in bed, eating her heart out. Not to mention a corned beef sandwich.
Listen, Brandon, would an apology make any difference?
Are you apologizing?
No, I just want to know if it'd make any difference.
Yeah. Brandon, it's all just a big misunderstanding. Now, Vicky just took some things out of context.
You mean you did not say my wife looked like the Goodyear blimp?
Well,
I deeply resent that. I happen to love that blimp.
Yeah, right. You'd divorce her in a heartbeat if you could.
All right, Brandon, look.
You look. You think you are so special just because you have a perfect little family and a perfect little house and perfect little teeth.
How dare you march in here and call us perfect?
You think it's tough living next door to us? How do you think we feel living next door to Mr. and Mrs. Whitebread? Well, no more. I've had it. No more, Mr. Nice Guy. This is the end. This neighborhood is no longer big enough for both of us. It's time to move.
Goodbye.
You're going to move?
Not me. You.
No. No, we're not. Brooklyn?
Maybe he's right, honey. Maybe the only answer is to move.
But I love this house. And I love this neighborhood. It's perfect.
Well, except for the Brindles.
Not us, honey. The Brindles.
There was never take an act of God to get them out of here.
Probably.
Yeah? You do have perfect little teeth.
I do?
So, of course, after all that Vicky heard and repeated to Harriet, Harriet storms out of there. Of course, she's going to tell her parents. Brandon comes over there furious. And then he pretty much starts saying you're both white bread with your perfect house and your perfect family and this and that and the other. And he's like, this neighborhood isn't big enough for the both of us, so you'll have to move. And the Lawsons are like, fuck your shit, we're not moving. Deal with it. And when Brandon waves. Well, and the fact that Joan is actually almost trying to apologize for the Goodyear blimp crack about Bonnie. It's like, hey, interesting enough how Bonnie can say shit about you and saying like, oh, you look like a fucking chipmunk who's preparing for hibernation or some shit. But you gotta apologize for calling her a Goodyear blimp and not to her face? Hell no! Uh-uh. The minute she started insulting Joan, I said, you can turn your little your ass around and get the fuck out of my house. Simple as that. Because, honestly, no one has to put up with that crap. And it's interesting. So, Brandon leaves, like, basically saying, oh, Lawson, you have to move. It's like, fuck, no, we're not. But Ted starts scheming, like, oh, well, yeah, Joan's like, I'm not moving. We're not moving. I like the neighborhood, aside from the fucking Brindles. The house, I love it. You know, Jamie basically grew up in this house. I mean, he's 12 now. And Ted's like, oh, no, honey, we're not moving. Uh-uh. Tweedledum and Tweedledumber are gonna move. Because she's like, how? And it would take an act of God. And he's like, oh, don't you worry about that. So, my guess, he starts making a shit ton of noise and everything to the point where they're just going to irritate the Brindles to the point where they're just going to leave. I guess. Which, this is funny as hell. This episode's called Bye Bye Brindles, about getting the Brindles to get the fuck out. The next episode is basically Vicky accidentally putting the house up for sale. How funny that those episodes are literally back to back. So, all right, let's see how this goes.
Is this her driveway? Was he putting a for sale sign in front of your house?
It's like having a huge board all your life. Then when it's gone, you kind of miss it.
Yeah, well, we don't know that's going to work. What did he do?
Brandon was sneaking a peek out the window, saw me putting up the for sale sign. He's on his way over.
Oh, they're putting up the for sale sign.
As soon as Dad says the big one, I signal Vicky to go into action.
Oh, they're pretending like they're gonna move.
Hi.
Brandon, what can we do for you?
I saw you posting a for sale sign. Dare I hope you're moving?
I'll dare your little heart out, it's true.
How sad. Can I help you pack?
No.
Building department?
Brandon, forget you heard that.
Heard what?
Come on, don't play innocent with us. We know how sharp your little mind is. We know that you probably already caught on.
Of course I've already caught on, but just to confirm it, what have I caught on to?
Ted, it would be the decent thing to tell him. In spite of the way that we feel about one another, we wouldn't want him to lose his home.
Lose my home?
Joni, that report was stamped confidential.
Well, then tell me confidentially.
No, you never believe it.
I'll believe it.
Okay, Brandon. We were thinking about adding a room to our house.
Huh?
So I went to the city building department to get information on codes and stuff. And that's when I accidentally saw the report on the inspector's desk.
One report.
What about the new earthquake fault they've just discovered?
Earthquake fault? Where?
You're standing on it.
Maybe it runs under both of our houses. In fact, under the whole neighborhood.
Now, wait a minute. Why should I panic? They're always predicting earthquakes. Might not happen for another 100 years.
Sure, and it could also happen tomorrow.
Yeah, and they say when this one hits, it's going to be the big one!
Okay, Vicky. Now.
Down.
It's the big one.
So that honestly is very, very clever by them. Bravo, bravo. They put a for sale sign in front of their yard, and Brandon immediately comes in. And Ted tells him, like, hey, I got confidential news. I looked at the inspection report on our house. Turns out we're basically, our house and yours, by the way, basically all the houses on the street are sitting on a fault line for an earthquake. And Brandon's all like, oh, yeah, but, you know, the odds of that happening, it could be another 100 years. And Joan's like, or it could happen tomorrow. And then when Ted mentions, or it could be the big one, this is a cue for Vicky to shake the basically the house on its foundation. That's not good. Oh my good grief. The house literally starts shaking. And she's like right outside the kitchen door in the, if you want to even refer to that as a backyard. But she's shaking it, and Brandon starts freaking out. Like, oh my god, we're gonna die! Like, okay, dude. I thought he's gonna run out of there right away and start, go home and start packing.
This must be it! The big one!
Okay, seriously, you're gonna have like do
okay,
damage.
You can stop now, Vicky. Oh, it stopped! Well, I guess that wasn't the big one. Just sort of the warm up for the big one.
That was horrible! My entire life flashed before my eyes.
That would be horrible.
I've got to get out of this neighborhood. I've got to put my house up for sale, too, right away.
Brandon, you can't do that. Huh? If the neighbors get suspicious and start asking questions, everybody will want to put their house up for sale and property values are dropping a rock.
You're right. We have to keep it a secret.
So just stay cool. After we sell our house, then you can put your house up for sale.
I'm too afraid. Please, let me sell my house first, please.
Brandon, let go of me. How can you stoop so low?
This is nothing. I'd stoop much lower.
Okay, Brandon. I guess if you're pulling rank on me because you're my boss at work, I guess I have no choice.
Huh? Right. That's what I'm doing. I'm pulling rank. I'll put your for sale sign in front of my house.
It didn't take long.
Bye,
Brendel. Honey,
you're a genius.
You're so good,
honey. You know, honey, only Brandon Brendel would be dumb enough to believe that that was really the big one.
No, shit. Damn it, Vicky, stop.
Thanks a lot, Vicky.
So I like what Ted does here because Brandon's like, I'll put my house up for sale too. And then Ted's like, no, Brandon, if you do that, if the other neighbors get wind of this, they're all going to put their houses up for sale, and then the property values will go down. So he convinces Brandon to put his house up for sale first. He even takes the for sale sign in front of the Lawson's house. And, of course, when he shuts the door on Brandon, and he's like, Joan, I can't believe that worked so easily. And then he mentions the big one, and Vicky immediately starts shaking the side of the house again, and there's plaster falling from the ceiling. So now we're outside. Can we get rid of this fucking jungle monkey bar bullshit already? Because this one's outlasted its welcome as much as that damn treehouse did. Because they've got a little mini ping pong table set up in the backyard and they're playing. I don't even know why Jamie even plays ping pong with Vicky. You know she's going to beat you. Like, why even bother? How much you want to bet that Harriet's coming through that door there? I bet she will. She's going to come through that gate.
Well, then, what are you playing with her?
The only one who's good enough to play against you is yourself.
Play against myself.
Cool. Okay, dude. Seriously. Beat three times in a row by Vicky at table tennis or ping pong or whatever the hell you want to call it. See, I don't see what playing with you. I mean, it's pointless because you constantly win. You may as well play with yourself. And she does. And then her timer goes off because she's got to put the clothes in the dryer. Harriet comes over and she's upset because she's got to move. And Jamie tells her, like, hey, it's not such a big deal. You'll love it. You'll get to listen in at other new people's doors, peek in keyholes, that kind of thing. And she's talking about how much she's invested 3 years in their relationship. And he says, Harriet, we don't have a relationship. This one-sided infatuation you have with me just needs to stop. So Ted's working at his desk in the living room, and there's, it's Brandon. He's got the for sale sign. My guess is he found out, like, he went down there, and he found out there was no fault line. He looked at the inspection report for the houses, because he's got the sign right there, unless he's saying, hey, somebody bought our house, we're leaving, which I doubt. I don't think so.
Congratulations, and believe me, Brandon, when I say I couldn't be happier.
Well, how did you sell it so fast? It was only on the market for 3 days.
Well, I happened to run into a real estate lady, and I gave her an incentive to sell it fast.
What kind of incentive?
I bribed her. Turns out we have something in common.
Greed.
Here's the key to the front door. The new owner said he might want to come by and check a few things out, and I'm not going to be home, so I said I'd leave with you, okay?
Oh, sure.
All right. I better get over to the real estate office and sign those contracts before the big one hits. Well, I guess this is it. The time for good friends to say goodbye. It's too bad we're not good friends.
Okay. Good riddance, dude.
Well, he's gone. It's party time. Break out the bubbly.
Guilty about driving the Brindles away with that phony earthquake story.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I guess I do have some lingering guilt. Okay, that passed.
Yeah.
Let's get this celebration on the road here. Come on.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was actually a bit surprised when he said he actually sold the house. It'd been on the market for 3 days, and boom. He spoke to a real estate woman who was looking to
find a place to sell. I mean, they live in California, so I'm sure it'll be pretty easy. And I could, again, like I said, you guys know I don't watch these episodes ahead of time, so I have no idea what the hell happens. I really thought he was going to come back and say, oh, by the way, I went down to the bank or wherever the fuck and looked at my own inspection report, and there is no fault line. So, yeah. No, he sold it. New owners. My guess is something's going to happen, and they're still going to be next door. That's what I'm guessing, because we know the Brindles don't leave. They're still there in the rest of season 3 and all of season 4. So, yeah. Let's see how this... Yeah, and, I mean, Joan is feeling a little guilty. They did kind of con Brandon into that. But it's like, they've been assholes to you since day one. Don't feel guilty. He's just that stupid that he would believe anything that comes out of your mouth. Unless he was smart enough to check that out for himself. Which he's not. So, joke's on him. Well deserved. All right, looks like they're eating breakfast. Is that pancakes? I can't tell. Or it could be dinner. Must be. It's got to be later that day. Cause they're wearing the same clothes.
Vicky, this water isn't very cold. May I have an ice cube? If you're gonna make it like salty or. There you go. You said you wanted an... That's a cool drink. What the fuck is that noise?
Sounds like somebody's tumble drying
a cat. The fuck? Why the fuck are you in my yard? Turn that shit off. You would have seen that before you bought the damn place. You bought it sight unseen. What the hell that noise was at first. I'm like, I thought it was like a chainsaw or something, like the new owners are just making improvements on the house. That must have been a quick sale or something, because the guy, the vermin rockstar dude, typical 80s, he's got his boombox on his shoulder.
And it's so loud, it's like your ears are bleeding. And Jamie recognizes the guy right off the bat. And I guess he's got a couple kids that are in the van, and he's got a whole van that's going to be moving in to this house, because he's got the key, and he wants to make sure it's big enough for all of his band members. I don't know how many he's got. I'm like, so they bought this house sight unseen. Because, and then he starts making an Ozzy and Harriet joke about Joan and Ted. It's like, hey, basically, you do you, you do you, alright? You don't have to interact with your neighbors. You just go about your lives. Why do you gotta, you know, it's whatever. But the fact that the guy, he basically, the house has already been sold, and he's getting the key, and then he's gonna check and make sure the place is big enough, it's like, I get it, the internet didn't exist, and you couldn't exactly go on Realtor.com or Zillow and look at the dimensions and shit like that. But, yeah, it's not, Joan is like, I'm not going to be able to put up with that shit. Clearly, I mean, if that guy's in a band and all that shit, they're going to be rehearsing all the fucking time, keeping odd hours, smoking their dope. And she's like, they're moving in. I'm fucking moving out. I don't give a shit about this house if I gotta put up with that garbage. So, now it's almost like, well, what are we gonna do? Convince Brandon to stay? And Ted says, you know, the only thing that Brandon reacts to other than fear is greed, of course, because he sold the house. Is there, like, a period of time where it's like you can say, actually, I've changed my mind? It's like, I thought once the papers are signed and shit, then that's basically it. I don't know. I'm interested to see the fallout of this, so let's see. I mean, the episode isn't bad, but it just feels like, sometimes with the episodes, it feels like they're kind of, like, one and done. Like, this is the plot. There's really no side plots outside of it. And it just doesn't feel like there's a lot of meat to it. It's just this one problem and the one resolution.
Return it.
Ah, nice guy, isn't he?
I'm not sure the purple lips go with the green eyeshadow.
Right. But I bet he's gonna be a lot of fun to live next door to.
Yeah. What are you talking about? I thought you guys were moving.
Oh no, Brandon, we changed our minds.
Are you crazy? What about the big one?
Well, if it knocks our house down, I guess we'll just build a bigger, more expensive one.
With what? You can't afford that, I know. I killed your last raise.
Well, money's no problem now. I mean, what with royalties and... Oops, there I go again.
I sense that you two are keeping something from me.
Oh, Tanner, we couldn't hide something from a true fellow like Brandon.
Yeah, you're right, honey, you're right. Okay, Brandon. Well, come clean. I was wrong. I found out the reason they did that geological report wasn't because of earthquakes, oh no. It was because of oil.
Oil.
Barrels of it right under our feet.
Yeah.
They're gonna tap the main pool by slant drilling under both of our houses.
Well, he means our house and the new owners.
Boy, did they buy at the right time. They're going to be millionaires.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Do they know about this?
No, we just found out.
Oh, good. That gives me time to sneak back into the real estate place and burn the contracts. Maybe I can figure a way to keep their deposit.
I don't know whether to laugh or to cry.
Well, honey, just be happy that it worked and we're rid of vermin and the sleazeballs.
Yeah, I was really worried about the influence they might have on Jamie and Vicky.
Oh, I wasn't, honey. I mean, Jamie is too much of a level-headed kid to let himself or Vicky get influenced by a bunch of weirdos.
Holy shit! Damn!
Hey, teaching John.
I'm Dad.
This is Mom. If you two aren't out of those outfits in 1 minute, your names will be mud.
Man, it's not a lot of laughs living with Ozzy and Harriet.
Oh my god. So that was interesting, this little plot that they kicked him. Like, oh, actually, Brandon, when I looked at that inspection report, it wasn't due to, a fault line under our houses. It's because there's barrels of oil. We are going to be rich. Because when he's surprised that they're not moving, they're like, oh, yeah, I mean, if the earthquake, like, demolishes our house, we'll just build a, you know, a new one. A little bigger, more expensive. So, and Brandon basically knowing what Ted gets, like, what, you can't afford that? It's like, I can now. With all these barrels of oil underneath our house. Oh, and your house, which is now, well, not your house, but the new owners. And they don't know yet. They don't know just how rich they're going to be. And Ted makes the joke, well, he's going to go down to the realtor office and burn the contract and hopefully be able to keep his deposit that was given by the new owners. Like, oh, fuck no. Oh, fuck no. No. But, yeah, it's like, okay, it worked great. So we can get rid of that vermin in the sleazeballs. And Jones worries, like, oh, the influence that this guy will have on our son. And, you know, Vicky. And Ted has the confidence in Jamie that Jamie's level-headed, like he's not easily influenceable. Have you met your son, sir? He's completely impressionable. Because when Jamie and Vicky walk in the door, Cheech and Chong apparently are this guy's kid, the new owner's kids, we don't fucking see them. And Jamie and Vicky are, like, decked out in leather, and Vicky's got, like, purple hairspray in her hair, and it's just, they look really punked up, you know, 80s terms. Wearing black and everything. At first, when I saw that guy and he had, like, the studded dog collar around his neck and then the nose ring with the jewel, whatever, I didn't go punk rock. I'm like, he looks like 90s, late, mid-90s goth version. Because, I mean, I almost got semi-Marilyn Manson vibes from him. But, damn. And then, again, we get this damn Ozzy and Harriet joke. Because, oh yeah, and they also got new names, which I couldn't even fucking tell. Unless I had the, if there were subtitles, I'd be able to tell what they were. But, Ted's like, if you two don't get out of those clothes, your names are going to be mud. And then Vicky makes the Ozzy and Harriet joke, and then he's like, oh, I'll give you Ozzy, and he basically chases him out of the living room. I like that ending. I thought it was good. It was definitely interesting. Brandon is just so damn gullible and impressionable. Jamie is smarter than this guy, and it's sad because this guy is Ted's boss or supervisor, and I'm just like, I just fucking can't. So, all right, let's jump into For Sale by Robot, the next episode. I mean, overall, I thought this was a good episode. I liked it enough. But we'll see if the next episode tops this one. It's just funny that these episodes are literally back to back. Like, one's on the January 23rd, the other one's January 30th. So, and this one's less, because Bye Bye Brindle's a 7.8. This one's 7.3. Okay, For Sale by Robot, Season 3, Episode 16. Vicky accidentally sells the Lawson's house. This has got a 7.3 out of 10, based on 19 ratings. Guest star, we got Annie O'Donnell as Mrs. Flug and Reno Goodall as Mr. Flug. I'm guessing they're the people that take an interest in wanting to see the house. This episode was directed by Leslie H. Martinson. We got writer Steve Granite, Mel Shearer, and Howard Leeds for this episode. Let's see. There are no user reviews. There never are. There's a goof that is basically just somebody's opinion, and I'll wait till after the episode's done because I don't want to spoil it for myself. Alright, we start this episode, as we do what feels like 85% of the time, in the kitchen.
Still downtown taking the test for her real estate license, so I warmed these up to hold us over.
What are they?
Heartburn specials. Pigs in a blanket.
Thanks. I'll take a chocolate shake. The milk's in the refrigerator. Get it, please. The refrigerator. Get it?
No, not the whole damn thing. Oh my god.
Put it down, Vicky. I meant the milk in the refrigerator.
So, what do you think of this, Jamie?
The hell is
what
it?
What is it?
Well, it's either a blueprint or a Smurf exploded. These are the remodeling plans for our house.
Oh, well, that's pretty
the
cool.
Chocolate milk. Vicky, I asked for a shake. Now it's a shake.
Hi, honey.
And I did it. I did it.
You passed the test.
And I got a job. And my first client. Yeah, they're picking me up here in the morning, and then we're going to go and see a house in the neighborhood.
Congratulations, honey.
Thanks.
Honey, look at this. The remodeling plans came back from the architect's office. Come on in. I'll show you what it's going to look like.
Great.
Just like we discussed. This is going to be great. First thing we're going to do, tear down a fireplace and put up a terrazzo marble mantle.
Oh, that'd be beautiful, honey.
Yep. Then we're going to take down this divider and this post, and then we're going to put up a staircase from the hallway into the new second floor.
New second floor? Can we afford that?
Well, it depends.
For what?
How many houses you sell.
His name is so... Calm down, man. All right, so I got to ask, is this a new venture that she is taking on as a realtor? Because I thought she's made, is this just for an episode? Because she, I guess, I didn't even know she had an interest in becoming a realtor. She's been Jamie's substitute teacher this whole time. Well, not this whole time, but she's got a realtor's license. And I guess she also got offered a job. That's pretty fucking fast. The two people are going to pick her up in the morning and take her to her first house selling appointment. Yeah, that's great. Ted is already spending her earnings that she hasn't even sold a house yet. But he went ahead and got an architect to throw together a blueprint of the remodel that he wants to do on their house. Just saying, we're going to take this out, we're going to add a staircase. Oh, because they have a second floor on that house, which I guess the stairs are somewhere off to the side that we can't see. It seems really... Because he's talking about doing the whole second floor, like, completely different. And Joan, of course, like, well, can we afford that? And he's like, yeah, well, once the checks start rolling in from your sales, I'm like, slow your roll. Dude, I would have waited until she started getting into it. You don't know if she's going to be like, I can't do this. I quit. I'm going to go back to substitute teaching. I mean, I'm just going based on a guess. Guys, I don't think we see this ever again. This is just for an episode. So, let's see how this goes.
Oh, I hope I have everything that I need to show the house. The listing sheet. Oh, good, your receipt book. Oh, no, I'm missing the most important thing.
Your lipstick?
My sales contract. There it is.
It makes you feel
I was a little nervous.
Joni, would you relax? You're gonna do just fine.
It's easy for you to say. It's my first chance to sell a house. I don't want to blow it.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have a dry run before your clients get here. I'll be the buyer, Mr. What's his name?
The Flute. He's in town for a convention. He's moving his business here from Texas.
Oh, okay. Well, the most important thing is to let the buyer know that you have his best interest at heart, you know, that you're going to give him the best deal possible.
Dad?
Oh, I'm glad you're here. We're going to help Mom practice selling the house.
But I have to meet my team at the ball field.
That's okay. It'll only take a second. Come on. Over here. Now we're going to pretend like we just came in, okay? Howdy there, ma'am. Name is Luke, and these are my little doggies here. And this over here is the heifer that dropped them. Say howdy, darling. Well, you have to excuse the missus. She just ain't much of a talker.
She's also not much to look at, partner.
Well, say now, this is a right nice spread you got here.
Oh, yes, isn't it?
No, Joni. If you want to sell something, you've got to be enthusiastic, bright, animated, you know? Try it again, huh? Well, now, honey, it's a right nice spread you got here.
Yes, isn't it?
Don't overdo it, honey.
It's a terrific house and a very good location. Near a school for the kids, too. Is it near a ball field, ma'am? Oh, indeed it is. There's a park just a couple blocks down. See ya.
Well, ma'am, I gotta tell you, I'm plumb hog-tied by your bunkhouse here. So how much this place gonna set me back?
Oh, that's a great value. A lot of house for the money and a very reasonable price, too. Only $159,000 and furnished.
Ooh, honey, I gotta tell you, you just kind of took my heart and stomped that sucker flat, you know? I mean, them's a lot of pesos, ain't that right, Kettlebumps?
Well, Mr. Fluke, yeah. Confidentially, I want to get you the best deal possible. I think I'd get it for you a little cheaper.
Cheaper? You just ain't honking my saddle horn, are you?
What would you say to $129,000?
I'd say keep honking.
Well, you really should make an offer, Mr. Fluke. In this market, the house is going to sell fast.
Okay, honey, $99,000, big ones.
Sold. And you can move right in.
Oh, thanks, Annie. Hear that, Kettlebumps? Oh, Kettlebumps. Oh, no, look at that. She got so excited, she plumb fainted right away. Oh, look at that.
Better get your invisible wife some invisible water.
Well, give me that there contract. Hey, give me that there fin. I don't sign it.
Well, I really must say, Mr. Fluke, you made a good buy.
Well, honey, you sold me with your great sales pitch and those incredible legs.
Thanks, honey, for helping. I have a feeling it's not going to be that easy.
Well, I don't know, honey. Come on, we got the key to this house that fast.
The key? Oh, gosh, I forgot to pick up the key to the house that I'm showing.
Joni, relax. I'll drive you down to the office and we can get it.
Oh, great.
Vicky, we'll be right back.
You forgot something?
What?
Kettlebumps.
So I get it. It's her first time. Joan is very, very nervous. I thought there were a couple guys or employees that hired her that were going to pick her up and take her to a place where she could show this house. Why are they coming to see her? But apparently she forgot the key to the house that she's going to be showing. So Ted's going to drive her down. I like that he helped her kind of prepare, like, pretend I'm the person you're selling the house to. And then that way he also pretended to kind of haggle, like, that's a bit much, $159,000, you gotta go, what else? I mean, really. And the whole, like, southern drawl Texas accent, let me tell you, I've been here for 3.5 years, just about. I do not hear, and which odds are a lot of people from Texas, unless they're born here, even the ones that are born in Texas do not have accents. But it's a lot of them are coming from different areas. I mean, I came from Michigan, you got people coming from California, Oklahoma, farther east, farther west. It's just everyone's, and it seems like the DFW area is the area that a lot of people seem to be settling into. But anyway, I like that he did this exercise with her to kind of get her to feel a little more comfortable doing basically a dry run. But wouldn't they have done that in those classes? It's not like, are they just throwing you out into the water and seeing if you can swim kind of situation? Because it just seems like, hey, we're the two people that, like, the company that hired her. Because she said they're going to come pick me up in the morning. They're going to take me over to this house. And they're going to help me, you know, sell it and everything like that. So, yeah, I mean, I would think, especially if a buyer is coming from out of state, that they would want somebody who is more experienced. I mean, you usually, I would think, and I don't know jack diddly about being a realtor, but you would slowly gain experience as you go. But if I'm a buyer coming from out of state and everything, I kind of want somebody who really is well-versed in, like, knowing the house backwards and forwards and everything. Like, oh, it looks like... A buyer's going to have questions. They're going to want to know. I mean, if they're coming all the way out here to look at this house. Because, again, we didn't have the internet like we do now, where you can just go on Realtor.com or Zillow and we'll get a good chunk of your information from the website. You'd talk to a realtor, that kind of thing. So Ted says, hey, look, I'll drive you down to get the key at the office. Vicky, we're going to be right back. This is where the Fugles or Fugues or whatever their last name is when they show up.
So we can get it.
Oh, great.
Vicky, we'll be right back.
You forgot something?
What?
Cuddle bumps.
Then this invisible life.
Oh. Fred Flug.
Howdy there, big darling. I'm Vicky Lawson.
This here's a little missus.
Howdy there, cutter bumps.
Dang. Ooh, strike one, girl.
Is your ma home? She's expecting us. Ma'll be right back.
Oh, well, I got me a little something for you, honey. It's a little souvenir pin from my company.
Handheld portable potties, your outhouse in a suitcase. Don't leave home without it.
Say, Fred, this is a right nice little casa. But the furniture makes you want to chuck your chili.
Yes, isn't it? Oh, it's a terrific house, and at a great location, near a school for the kids, too.
Oh. Is this the place Mrs. Lawson was going to show us?
No! Why the hell is she meeting there?
It's a lot of house for the money, and at a reasonable price, too.
Oh, you happen to know just how much?
Only $159,000, and furnished. And I ain't just honking your saddle horn.
That is too much money, Fred.
Frida, don't be a penny pincher. It's furnished. You can look for loose change in the couch.
Well, now that is a selling point, but that's still a lot of dinero.
Confidentially, my mom wants you to get the best deal possible. I think she can get it for you a little bit cheaper.
How much cheaper?
What would you say to $129,000?
I'd say cheaper. How about $50,000?
Oh, fuck you. Fuck.
Sold.
No! Damn it, girl!
Your horses, Frida. What are we doing? She's a kid. She can't sell us this house.
Well, she said Your ma wanted us to get the best deal.
Not for that house? What and, the fuck?
This here contract looks like the real McCoy to me. See? It's even signed by the owner, Ted Lawson. Where I come from, that's a legal document.
You've got a point there.
We're buying it, Fred. Don't look a gift house in the mouth. You got yourself a deal, honey bunch. Sign it, Fred.
But shouldn't we see the rest of this house first?
At this price, I don't care if there is a rest of a house. Sign it. And I'll make out a check.
All right. There. Give that to your mom, sweetheart.
And this here check.
Give it to my mom.
Come on now. Let's hightail it over to the motel and get our luggage.
Maybe we can check out for those cheap skinflints charges for a whole day. Bye, child.
Bye, heifer.
Okay, this stereotypical Texas, what have you, I cannot. And I'm not even going on record and saying I'm a true Texan because I've, again, only been here for over 3 years. I will go on record and say I'm a full, true Michigander, born and raised. But these people are fucking stupid as hell. You came from Texas to look at a damn house. Odds are they would have already, I mean, the house, the contract that Joan had was for the other fucking house. So, that damn guy. Why the hell did Ted sign that fucking contract to begin with? Oh my gosh. This doesn't make any sense. But, because of course, when they leave. And why the fuck are they meeting her at her house? That makes no sense. You don't go to a realtor and say, oh, I'll meet you at your house. No, you're meeting at the house you're going to look at to see if you want to buy it. But these people are fucking dumb. Ugh. I mean, I thought they were arriving at her house, so they assume what? She's selling her own fucking house? Because they're like, oh, I guess this is a house that we're going to look and buy. So, of course, Vicky starts saying, like, oh, yeah, she's just repeating what Joan was saying, like, $159,000. This is 88, so they're, oh, that's way too damn much money. Even though the guy owns his own business. And Vicky's like, well, my mom could go down, you know, she wants to get you the best deal. How about $129,000? Apparently, it's still too much. And I thought she was going to go, like, $99,000. No, the lady's like, how about $50,000? I'm like, I don't even. So she, and the guy's like, honey, I don't know. I probably should be looking at the rest of the house. And she says, honey, for that fucking price, I don't give a shit if the rest of the house even exists at this point. If there's nothing on the other side of that wall, I don't give a shit. Because we can take care of it. Because we're getting it for cheap as hell. Oh! Oh, and of course, as soon as the Fugles or whoever the fuck they are leave, boom, Ted and Joan come right in. They would not be having, she would not be having a contract in her briefcase for her own fucking house. That makes no damn sense. Like, oh, Vicky, you just sold our house for $50,000? Ugh.
The flugs haven't arrived yet.
The flugs did arrive yet.
What do you mean, Vicky?
The heifer told me to give Ma this contract.
Well, what for?
The house. I sold it.
What house?
This house.
No.
Oh, Ted, you signed where it says seller, and there's Mr. Flynn's signature under buyer. She really did sell our house.
Vicky, how could you do such a thing?
With my great sales pitch and incredible legs.
So I guess logic and principle just goes way the fuck out the window with this. Because when they come in, Ted signs under seller on that contract, and then the Fugles sign under buyer. That doesn't make... That would be the contract for the fucking house she was gonna fucking sell! Why the fuck would they have a contract for their own goddamn house there? They wouldn't! Because they're looking at it, sure enough, honey, here you signed on seller, and he signed on buyer. I don't know. She really did sell our house. It's like... I would have been like, look, Vicky, we gotta make a stop, alright? If they show up, just tell them to wait, and we'll be right back. This is the thing, it's like, she was gonna have people help her with this. Like, her new employers... They're gonna say, like, honey, you're not ready. You just sold your own damn house. Your kid, in fact, sold your house. So, yeah. That's the shit. I mean, I know she's nervous and she forgot the most important fucking thing, which was the key to that damn house. Holy shit. Hopefully she can turn this around, because, again, I don't see her making a career out of this. I don't even think we're gonna, hear of this again in another episode. I think it's just for this episode. But again, I have no damn clue because I didn't watch the episode ahead of time. So I guess who haven't seen this episode will find out together.
The kid. I've read this contract over a dozen times. It could be a legal document with both your signature and Mr. Flug's on it. Seems like Vicky really did sell them our house.
Don't worry, all you gotta do is burn the contract. Every motel in town. When he finds them, I'll explain it was all a mistake.
What if they don't think so? They did give us a check.
Joni, look. I'm sure the Flugs are reasonable people. They'll probably get a great big laugh out of this.
No luck yet, Dad. I'm phoning all the motels in alphabetical order. I'm up to W.
Keep trying.
Okay. By the way, what does it mean when they answer the phone and say, adult motel? Does it have anything to do with sex?
Oh, yeah.
Never mind.
I know it has something to do with sex.
I'll get it.
We'll see how this goes. Howdy,
partner. You gotta be the Flukes. No, I'm Roy Rogers, and this here's Trigger.
You're gonna be looking for a home where the buffalo roam.
Well, hi, I'm Ted Lawson. This is my wife, Joan, and boy, are we glad to see you.
Well, out of there. Have a pen.
Thanks a lot.
We're all set to move in.
Yeah, about this house.
Nah, just point us up to the bedroom. We'd like to go unpack.
No, you don't understand. You see, it was all a mistake. This house isn't for sale.
Right, I have another house in mind for you. A very nice one. I'm sure you understand. Of course. Fred, I think I'll put red flock wallpaper on that wall.
Good idea. That'll go nice with our rattlesnake rug.
Okay, I just told you this house isn't for sale.
The bottom line is that, this contract you signed just won't hold up.
Well, that's your opinion. And you can just move right on out.
Fuck you.
Move right on out. Because I told Trigger they can move right on in.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I'm sorry, but forget it. This is our house, and we're staying.
Tear up the damn contract.
Yourself to home. Just so long as you're gone by the time we get back. Go on, darling. I gotta get back to that portable potty convention.
We'll be back later. For good.
Fuck you, Bo.
What are we gonna do now?
I don't know. Like to throw that clown out right on his portable potty. But I guess the sensible thing to do is call the lawyer.
Tear the damn contract up.
I finally found the Flukes, but they just moved out of the Zanzibar Motel. Did it have anything to do with sex?
So the people show up, the Flugs do, and Ted and Joan are like, hey, look, there was a mistake. This house is not for sale. And they won't take no for an answer. It's like, yeah, because Joan even says, I have a nice house in mind for you. I would have said, this is our fucking house. In fact, Tear up the goddamn contract. Rip it up. No one's seen it. No one needs to know. As soon as you tear up that contract, it's null and void. The check is not been cashed. Hand him the check back and say, this was a mistake. You would have to have somebody there. You would have to have a person there. They'd have to notarize it. No one is a child cannot sell a fucking house. I mean, my good grief, it's not like you're signing a legal document online. So apparently Ted's like, I guess we gotta call a lawyer because they're like, oh, well, we're not moving out. We'll be back later. We gotta go to this porta potty convention, but hopefully you'll be gone by then. Like, these people are fucking morons. It's like, you hail from Texas? Oh, you're giving Texas a bad name just by the fake ass Texas drawl, which in my mind does not exist. At least not where I'm at. But it's just, there's sound, like, stereotypical of what television shows in the 80s depicted people from Texas. With the drawl, with the, I just got off a horse and I'm bow-legged. I'm just calling everyone darling. Like, oy. So, yeah, Ted sounds like he's gonna have no... Why did you even call a fucking lawyer? Again, rip up the contract. No one will know.
I don't know. Like to throw that clown out right on his portable potty. But I guess the sensible thing to do is call the lawyer.
Dad, I finally found the Flukes. But they just moved out of the Zanzibar Motel. Did it have anything to do with sex?
Well, let me put it to you this way, Tom. This is our house, and if you can't get rid of them legally, I'm gonna throw them out.
What did the lawyer say?
Stay calm. And that'll be $200.
Oh, just for that phone consultation?
In the meanwhile?
I'm afraid not, honey. I mean, they'd sue us. We'd be in and out of court for years. Tom's advice is... make the best of it for the moment.
Mom, Dad, the Flukes just drove in our garage.
Okay, it looks like we're stuck with these jerks for a day or two, so don't let them get to you, huh? Just stay loose.
Stay loose. Get up, Vicky.
Let's make the key word calm.
Calm. Portable potty.
Look at them portable potty people party.
You could have at least knocked.
Why will we knock on our own door?
Dad, I'd like you to clean out that garage just as soon as possible. Darn near ruined one of my tires when I drove over your golf clubs.
What the fuck? I'll fucking kill you.
I'll call.
Are you all right, Fred? You look a little flushed.
You'll live.
He should. He's got a toilet on his head.
By the way, look at what I bought.
What the fuck? It's a weird-ass clown face?
Deserves a place of honor, darling.
It's freaky.
There over the living room mantle instead of that ugly eyesore that's hanging there now.
Ugh.
Ugly eyesore? I painted that eyesore. Calm. I'm calm.
No.
Are you packed yet, Lawson? I want you out of here pronto.
Calm, Ted.
No.
Oh, no? Maybe they'd go if they thought this house wasn't such a good deal.
What are you going to do, Dad?
Well, we were going to remodel anyway, right? Why don't we just start our remodeling a little sooner than we planned?
Sweet.
With a little help from Vicky's muscles.
My muscles.
Oh, is she going to do the shake on the house again like last episode?
What am I, chopped liver? Yes.
Fred. I am so glad we joined the Black Velvet Painting of the Month Club. Let's unpack.
Oh, Fred. Fred, got a second thing. I want to tell you that I talked to my lawyer, and, well, looks like you've won. House is all yours, pretty boy.
Well, now, that's more like it.
We just wanted to let you know that there's no hard feelings.
Yeah, and you're getting a perfect little house here. I had to know. Let you in a little secret. I built it myself.
Oh, really?
That's right, with my own two hands. Now, you take these walls, for instance. The finest materials. It's as solid as a rock.
Solid as a rock.
How solid can a wall be if a child can put her hand right through it?
Well, that spot's just a little weak because of all the water damage. Oops.
What water damage?
Oh, Wash, what? It really wasn't that bad. In fact, the floor hardly warped. And all the wire got rid of the cockroaches.
Cockroaches?
Yep.
Them little buggers can't swim to save their lives.
Anything else about this house that we don't know?
Oh, no, it's a beautiful house.
Oh, she's right. You take this fireplace, for instance. I built this thing by hand, brick by brick. This thing is built to withstand the test of time.
The test of time? Time's up.
Anything else about this perfect house we don't know?
I bet you don't like it.
Nothing at all. It's in very good condition. Isn't it, Ted?
Oh, whoa, whoa, it couldn't be gooder. Oh, you take these hallway stairs, for instance, all reinforced. And you take this divider. See this post here? This isn't just glued in. It's got solid steel bolts. This thing's like the Rock of Gibraltar.
Rock of Gibraltar. Want a piece of the rock?
Fred, this isn't a house. It's the Titanic.
Come on, you're just overreacting. It's just a little termite there.
Oh, shit. Well, you're wrong.
Does it? You swindler. This jump ain't worth $50,000. It ain't worth 50 cents.
I never trusted them, Fred. They always look you straight in the eye.
As far as this here contract goes. Come on, honey. Let's get our stuff and get out of here before the whole roof caves in.
And don't you try to cash our check, you polecats. I'm putting a stop payment on it.
Nope.
All right.
Way to go. You did it, Dad. You did it. What am I, chopped liver?
Skip, there's just one thing I don't understand. How did you arrange for the floor to cave in?
I didn't. I guess we do have termites.
Ow,
ow. I thought you guys only ate wood.
How do you get rid of termites? Fled the place.
No.
Buggers can't swim.
No, you probably gotta have, like, the house tented. So, yeah, the Flugels come back. I'm just calling them the Flugels. And right away, it's like, oh, you're gonna have to clean out the garage, Ted, Fred tells him, because I just ran over your golf clubs and almost lost a tire. Ted is about ready to fucking rip this guy's head off, and I don't blame him one bit. Because before they arrive, Ted's on the phone with his lawyer, and his lawyer's like, hey, look, it sounds like a legal contract, just sit tight, and also stay calm, just deal with it for now, and I'll take care of see what I can do on my end. Oh, and it's $200 for the phone consultation. I would have said, damn it, you could have avoided that $200. If you just ripped up the fucking contract, because nobody else outside of Vicky and Ted and Joan and the Flugels even fucking saw that contract, so it may as well not even exist. But now it's all like, okay, well, yeah, they get some black velvet clown face picture to put over the mantle, the Flugels do. They're moving right in.
Like, so the family, it's almost like we gotta save this house again. Second episode. It's like, you could have spaced these two episodes out, honestly. And they pretty much are just going to make the house sound very unappealing. Like, oh, there's shit wrong with it. Because the wall, Vicky ends up putting a hole in the wall. Also with that, whatever the hell that rod is that's supporting, like, part of the ceiling. And also, it turns out, his foot ends up going through just above the stairs there. And he's talking about, you know, the cockroaches, the water damage, and all this shit. And the flukes are just like, oh my gosh, this house ain't worth 50 cents, let alone $50,000. And they leave. They're like, anything else about this perfect little house that we need to know about? It's like, hey, for $50,000, bitch, didn't you just say that you don't care if there's even an upstairs or a rest of the house? Yeah. But good fucking riddance. And she's like, don't try to catch that check because I'll put a stop on him. Like, they were going to. And he rips up the contract and puts it in that little toilet hat on his head. Well, and again, I don't think we hear again of Joan with this realtor thing. I think it's just straight up substitute teaching when she can, because luckily for them, Ted can be the only one working in that family, and they are fully supported. They don't have to be both working 40 plus hours a week to be able to live there. And again, they live in California, so. But it turns out when Joan's like, honey, how did you put your foot through the floor? Like, was that kind of like an act? Like the, well, yeah, even the mantle and stuff. Because Ted was starting off saying, like, oh, I built this house with my two bare hands. And then whenever he would do something like smack the wall, Vicky put a hole through it. Or he put his hand on the mantle, she put her hand, like, on it and just collapsed. But yeah, it turns out they may have termites. And apparently they like human flesh because they are, like, going after his foot. And they're, like, worried, like, well, what are we going to do? One thing, they would probably have to have the house tented and fumigated or something to that effect. I mean, I don't know if they'd have to move all their shit out of there or how that worked. Or probably just tear out that whole section and just have that rebuilt. But you'd probably have to get rid of the termites before you even do that. Otherwise, you're probably going to walk into the same situation that you're already in. So it would be kind of like a moot point. But if I had to pick between this episode and last one, I actually like the second one better. I think it was more enjoyable and even more, you know, infuriating. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed these two episodes. I think that maybe for these two episodes, dealing with, like, fake selling the house versus accidentally selling the house, those two probably could have been spaced out a bit. You could have even, like, saved it for season four. Because just seems a little redundant, like, back to back, like, literally the next week has to deal with the house. For May, this is the episode I've literally been waiting for all of 2023 and all of this year. This is, I think, one of maybe the last serious episodes of season three. It's season three, episode 17, Ronald McDonald House. Jamie stages a play to help a boy cope with leukemia. This has got an 8.2 out of 10, and it's not surprising to me because this is a very... Richard Christie also directed this. He plays Ted. Warren S. Murray is getting a writing credit along with Bruce Kane, Howard Leeds, the creator, and Steve Granite, and Mel Shearer. So, let's see. Okay. Oh, now that I finished that episode, I can actually go back and list the supposed goof, which I think I'll probably agree with this person. Plot hole under goof. The plot of this episode should be impossible because the legal document that the Flugs sign should have the address of the property for sale on it. which have immediately cleared up the misunderstanding. Yeah, that just is honestly dumb writing. Because us as kids in the 80s wouldn't have batted an eye at that. Like, oh, it's legit, sure, whatever, okay. As an adult watching that, no way in fucking hell would that hold up in court. It wouldn't hold up in court. It wouldn't hold up in reality. This is TV land bullshit logic. So, yeah. All right. Like I said, I hope you guys enjoyed the episodes. And I will be back in May with the Ronald McDonald House. Speaking of moving. This is getting really old. We're going to be moving. And no, it's not to a house. It's actually to another building in the complex. This is going to be the third time now that we've had to move in over almost 4 years of living in Texas. It'll be 4 years in September. And I'm just like, I can't keep doing this. The first time, of course, we moved from Michigan down here to Texas. Sure, great. Ice storm or winter weather storm of 2023 or 2021, excuse me. We were stuck in a hotel for over 4.5 months and we finally were able to get another apartment, which is the one we're currently residing in. Fast forward 3 years later, our lease is coming up soon. And hey, we just got a notification that says, due to you being in a unrenovated apartment, you'll have to now move into an actual renovated apartment. Because they have to meet a quota. They have a few unrenovated apartments, such as ours, that they need to take care of as of this year. And I'm just like, I'm irritated. Because this is such short notice with our lease being up in like 2.5 months. They could have given us a heads up. Unless I just got this information this year. But we signed on for another year lease back in July. And I'm just like, really? Really? It's just really frustrating because now this time around, well, last two times we moved, the last time we moved, we got a small U-Haul and we just moved the heavy stuff over to the other building. And we looked at each other and I'm just like, the next time we have to move, we are hiring a company. Because that was so strenuous. And again, my husband's a type 1 diabetic. Moving that heavy stuff was significantly lowering his blood sugar. I'm like, we are going with the company at this time because we can't put ourselves, I can't put him through that. And it angers me. It's like, can we please? I have moved more in the last 3.5 years than I have ever moved in my life. I spent like most of my childhood living in the same place, and then I mean the most I spent in one place would have been my childhood home from age 4 to age 19. After that I moved into my apartment where I was there for a little over 2 years, and then I moved in with my boyfriend, who later became my husband, lived there for a few years. Our longest period of time for a move would have been in our house that we had lived in for, I would say, it was like about 11 years. So, yeah, it's just this moving back. We're like, this better be the last time until we buy a house because I can't keep doing this. Our cat, I'm telling you, has been through the ringer. She's been a good sport, but she definitely, learn a layout that she got used to over 3 years ago. So, Yeah, we're actually going to be downsizing from the size. It's not a big downsize, but it's a different layout and everything. It's less counter space, so that's something to have to get used to again with the, yeah. But if you guys have moved in the past or moved multiple times, depending, I'm sure you guys can understand, like, the headache, the pain, the frustration of having to pack your stuff. And again, like I said, we're just moving to another building. But it's still, it's just like, I work in a movie theater, and it's like, gonna be summer movie season next month. So it's like, great, now we gotta try to move. And the thing is, my husband only has weekends off, so that's gonna be a fun time. But, yeah, alright, I will be back in May with, and it's probably gonna be towards the end of May, because... Or maybe I'll do in June, like, two episodes to cover May and June, because May is just, between now and May, it's going to be busy just getting stuff packed and put away and all that fun stuff. So, all right. I'll just, like I said, I'll keep you posted, and we'll go from there. So, again, thank you guys for listening to this podcast. I enjoy covering this. I believe more than likely I am going to cover two episodes a month in 2025 with season four, and we'll just wrap up the podcast then at the end of 2025. So, all right, everyone. I hope you all had a good Easter, a good St. Patrick's Day. It's funny that those two were in the same month. I don't know if that's ever happened before, but just kind of crazy. All right, bye-bye, everyone.